say to us this morning through her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. We're talking doors today, this morning. Doors are points of entry. It conveys us from one place to another, from one room to another. And in the Old Testament, they talked seriously about doorkeepers and gatekeepers. It was a very prestigious position. We think now that, gatekeeper, it's not an important job. You know, in the Old Testament, it was an extremely important post, to the extent that King David himself interviewed Levites, scribes, and officers to see their suitability for that important position, to appoint them as temple gatekeepers to make sure that nothing that's defiled will enter the temple of the Lord. In John 10:7, Jesus said, "I am the door, I am the gate for the sheep." And in other passages, you know, Jesus closed his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 by giving people options. After he explored with them the principles of godly kingdom, he gave them choices. He said to them, look, there is a narrow gate that leads to a difficult road, but it leads eventually to life. And the other option is a wide gate that leads to a broad road, but it leads to destruction. We have a choice. And that's what I love about the Lord. He respects our freedom of choice. The narrow gate leads to life through only one means, called Jesus. Jesus is the only one who makes us acceptable in God's eyes. And you know, the broad way is religion. People seek to establish relationship with a holy God. And they use religions to have contact with this holy God. But the Bible is very clear that there isn't any other name given under heaven but the name of Jesus for us to be saved. Jesus is the only legitimate way to a relationship with a holy God. Jesus is the opportunity given to mankind from heaven so that we establish communication with a holy God. For he, God the Father, had rescued us from, look at how the door conveys us from one place to another. He conveyed us, delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's very important that we understand, why did Jesus say, "I am the door"? Wasn't it enough to say, "I'm the shepherd, I'm the good shepherd"? And I think the only way we can understand the reason for this is to get our minds back to what happened, the events that happened in John chapter 9. In John 9, Jesus healed a man who was born blind. And he did that on the Sabbath. which angered the religious leaders so much. So they accused Jesus of being a sinner because he did it on the Sabbath. And they kept on interrogating the blind man. I feel sorry for him. How did you get to see? We knew you very well. You were born blind. How did you get to see? And the man said to them, I know only one thing. I was blind and now I can see. I told you and you don't want to believe me. They said to him, this man is a sinner, must be a sinner. He said, I didn't know of any sinners who can do such miracles. And you know what they did with this man? They expelled him out of the synagogue. The religious leaders made the mistake of believing they were good shepherds, because they were the religious leaders, and good doorkeepers or gatekeepers. And they made judgments on whoever should remain in their synagogue and who should be kicked out. And I think giving you the background of the reasons that Jesus said these words in John 10 is very important. That's how you get to understand why Jesus described himself as being the door. And you know what? He's not only the door, he's the doorkeeper. You know, sheep folds were different. In big cities, you would go to a big sheepfold where different shepherds bring their sheep, and there would be a gatekeeper. And when the shepherds put them in their folds at night and come in the morning, he would start speaking to them, and they hear his voice. Only the shepherd's voice, they know his voice, and they follow him. But that was in big cities. But there were sheepfolds in small villages where the shepherd would act as the gate himself and the gatekeeper by sleeping in that opening in the wall. There was no door, no virtual door, but the shepherd himself would lie down so that if any wild animal would come for the sheep, the wild animal has to go over his body before he gets any of his sheep. Jesus said, I am the door and I am the doorkeeper. And I really want to learn, I want to highlight three lessons that we can learn this morning about doors, about Jesus being the door. First lesson we will learn from religious leaders. The two other lessons we will learn from a parable that Jesus spoke about in Luke 13. The religious leaders, Jesus implied that they were thieves and robbers. What does that mean? It means that they chose not to go through the door. They chose to reject Jesus, the only door to salvation. And they used other merits to get into the pen, the sheep pen or the sheep fold. They relied on their own merits. What was their own merits? Righteousness. I'm a righteous Pharisee. What made them think that? They knew very well the law. Not only did they know the word, but they followed strictly rituals that they created themselves from the law, rituals that God didn't recommend himself. And they considered themselves perfect. They were the perfect people. They relied on their merits. And I want to warn you today, do not rely on your merits. Do not rely on being a church member all your life because you came to Sunday school as a child. I'm afraid that's not enough to get you into the kingdom of God. Do not depend on doing any service in the church. That's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. Be careful. Do not rely on your merits. Anyone who relies on his merits is using different means to get into the kingdom of God. Using windows, running, jumping over the roof. You are using your own merits. Second lesson, and the third lesson we will learn from the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 13. And Jesus gave the parable when a man asked him whether very few people will be saved. And I love Jesus, you know. He makes everything personalized. And the answer was, he didn't say, yes, very few will be saved. But he said, make every effort. He said to the man, make every effort to enter by the narrow gate. Strive, labor. It's hard work. It's hard work to walk and to enter through the narrow gate. Strive in your prayers. Strive against sin. Appreciate the seriousness of spiritual warfare. You need to strive and labor to enter through the gate, the narrow gate. What's the lesson there? The lesson was in the events of the parable that a householder, the master of the household, arose and decided that the door will be shut. That time was up. And you know, this is to the contrary of a very famous perception of God. We love to think of God as being merciful forever. But I want to tell you something. There will be time when God sets that time for entering through the door, it will be done, it will be finished. The opportunity would have gone. And that's the reason I'm urging you today to consider your options. God respects your freedom. God respects your ability to make decisions. But if you have never made that decision of entering through the door that's called Jesus Christ, I want you to consider that today. They knocked the door after the master locked the door. And they kept on screaming, saying, hey, it's me. And then Jesus said, but the householder looked at them and said, who are you? I do not know you. And then they said to the householder, how come? We sat, we shared meals with you. We had drinks with you at the same table. We listened to your teachings on the streets. How come you don't remember us? You don't know us. And the answer was, I do not know you. You know why? Because the type of contact those people had was only outward. Outward contact with God. They would come to church every week, all their lives, but no inward change. The Bible says the only thing that makes us acceptable to God is receiving Jesus and believing in his name, and then the miracle happens. And then I get changed inwardly. I am not the same again just because I believed that he can do that wonderful miracle. What's the lesson there? don't rely on outward rituals of coming to church. Don't be self-confident in or confident in these rituals. They do not save. The other bad surprise for them was that they said to him, "Hey, our fathers are there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are Jews, Jewish people. Let us in." And he said to them, "Sorry, that doesn't guarantee you salvation. Don't expect salvation just because you come from a certain race. That's not granted." The biggest surprise was that they saw people from the east and the west, north and south, sitting at the table of the householder, and they were denied access. A terrible moment when you are reassuring yourself or your life that you're gonna be there, that eternal life is yours, and then final moments you find that that's not the case. Jesus gave all of us equal access. He did not differentiate between white and black. You know, I praise the Lord because he promoted us women. I want you to delight in him. He promoted us. We used to sit in the outer courts in the Old Testament. We did not have the right to enter into the courts. But he promoted us. Praise the Lord. And he said, there is no difference between a man and a woman. He gave us all equal access. How did he do it? By his blood. I like to read three verses from the Bible about the work of Jesus. In Ephesians 1:6, and I'm going to read the New King James Version because it's the only version, really, that mentions the word acceptable, how we became acceptable with God. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in" who? In his beloved, in Jesus, he made us acceptable. Ephesians 2:13, "Now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near." By what? By the blood of Christ. He completed the work. Nothing was missing of his work. Listen to this in Hebrews 12, where he talks about his mediation for us. It's not only the blood. It's not only the fact that it's in his beloved we enter through the door, but through his mediation. So he's saying, "Now you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to Jesus, the mediator." The mediator of the new covenant. "And to the blood of sprinkling." Praise you, Jesus, because you completed the work for us to be acceptable, to enter through the door. There are actually implications, unpleasant implications, about the narrowness, how narrow the gate is. The first implication is that you cannot squeeze in with somebody. The gate is too narrow. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You cannot enter at the expense of your wife or your father and you say, "My father was a pastor. I must gain entry." It's too narrow. You cannot squeeze with anybody through the gate. The second serious implication is that you cannot be troubled and riddled and burdened with lots of stuff carrying through the gate because it's so narrow. You have to drop them. You have to drop your self-sufficiency. You have to drop your pride. You have to drop any unforgiveness. You have to drop anger that you may have carried for years because of things that may have happened to you when you were a child. You have to drop them. Come on, God, is that practical? Of course it is. You know why? Because he gave us what's called grace. What's the definition of grace? Grace has many definitions. I want to use that definition today. Grace gives you power and ability to do something that you yourself could not do. So you will be able to lay down every unforgiveness, every anger, every worry, every fear. You know, people who get frightened, they are not going into the kingdom of God. That verse frightened me in Revelations. I can't remember exactly the chapter. Was it 19 or 20? You know, people who are fearful of life events, are put like exactly the defiled ones and the murderers, being fearful, having no trust in your God. You need to get rid of all those burdens because the gate is too narrow. And the Lord in his goodness, he has put everything in place for you to be able to do it. Praise the Lord. Was having the door essential? What was the need for that? And I think we cannot talk about Jesus being the door without mentioning a type of a door in the Old Testament that was the only solution for salvation in the story of Noah. Was it essential that Noah would build an ark? Yes, it was. Because if he had not obeyed God and built the ark, what would have happened to Noah and to his children? They would have been destroyed. The Bible talks in Genesis 6 about how God grieved making man. And it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil. Guess what the word is after that? Continually. Man is really corrupt. He is corrupt. And God was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But you know, God did not carry out his plan straight away. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3? The Bible says that the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. How long? I'm going to ask you, I have to ask you questions now. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? And I think it's very important that we know these figures because it tells us about God's long suffering. How long? Give me guesses. Guess. How long? 41 days. Okay, we have 40 days here. Any other? Years? How many years? 40 years? Can we take it up a bit? Not a bit, a lot. You know what? It took Noah 120 years to build an ark. And who was waiting during these 120 years? The Lord. God was waiting for people to respond to Noah's call. It's very interesting. When I learned that when God instructed Noah to build the ark, the earth has never seen rain. They don't know what rain is. So you can imagine when Noah said to them, oh, God said to me to build a big ship because it's going to rain. Going to what? They didn't know what that means, what that meant. God is long-suffering. He waited, but clearly there wasn't respondence to the call. None of the people believed what Noah said that God had told them, that he will destroy the earth by floods. The more interesting thing, you know, it wasn't only rain coming from skies. It was fountains of water coming out of the depths of the earth. It was a guaranteed means to destroy man. What would have happened if Noah had not obeyed? He would have been destroyed with his children. What destroyed man? Then, two things. The corruption that entered man. The Bible said that his heart's intentions were evil continually. No break. No break of evil. So the corruption, the sin, Noah was rescued with his family of the corruption of the world of sin. Listen to what the Bible said in Galatians 1:4. He said, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from what? From the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father. And therefore, when we enter through the door, when we accept Jesus to be the door, we become separated in our minds and in our spirit from the evil of the age, of the current. It wasn't only the corruption of sin and the outcome of the corruption of sin that Noah was saved from, rescued from. There was something else. Guess, what was it? God's anger. They were rescued of God's anger. Have you ever thought of God's anger? I know we spoke recently about God in the Old Testament and how he used to say to Israel, just go and cleanse them, just kill them. And some people interpreted as God is an angry God. But actually we spoke about his long suffering just a few minutes ago. God's anger. Do you think God's anger was vented by the flood? Has it ended in the New Testament, being now in the New Testament? Actually, whoever refuses to go through the door, whose name is Jesus, will have God's anger being poured on him. Paul talked in a famous passage in Romans 1, where he spoke about homosexuality and different types of defilement and other sins. And he said that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's in Romans 1 from 18 to 21. God's wrath is still revealed. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for a door of divine grace that came to us to rescue us from God's anger. Don't take God for granted, you know. At the door, when they knocked in the parable in Luke 13, there was no room for bargaining. Time had finished. Time had come up. Are we keen and careful to continue to please our God in every area of our lives so that we don't provoke his anger? His anger is frightening. Frightening, especially after he's given you the means of enjoying salvation. Jesus said, if anyone enters by me, will be saved. You will be safe. You'll be safe of burglars and robbers. But not only that. You will come in and go out and find pastors. The Lord himself will be your rest, will be home, your home. There isn't anything like anyone's home. My rest is in my home. The Lord himself will be your rest. And you will have the liberty to go out and come back. You're not going to be locked out if you come out. And that was the reason we read Genesis 8. Because in Genesis 8, what did Noah do first thing when he came out of the ark? Have we noticed the reading that Richard read for us in Genesis 8? We will read it again. Genesis 8, and we will read verse 20, I think. Look, Noah obeyed God with everything. God said to him, build an ark. The man never even saw a ship. And he built the ark according to God's measurements. He stayed in the ark. That's another question for you. For how long? How long was Noah in the ark? 40 years. Noah? He was in the ark for 14 months. 14 months. And he didn't come out of the ark by himself. When the Lord told him to come out of the ark, he came out of the ark. He was so obedient. But let's read verse 20 in Genesis 8. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all unclean, of all the clean animals and clean birds, and he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Was he instructed to do that? Did God say to him, come out of the ark and build an altar for me? It was his heart that was overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude. You know why? Because when they were in the ark, they heard people drowning, screaming. You can imagine. I bet you he must have had post-traumatic stress disorder, but the Lord has healed him of all this screaming and shouting. open for us, open. We want you to help us. Save us, Noah. When he came out, he was overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude. He built an ark and offered a free will offering. He didn't say, oh, I have seven animals or seven birds of each type. This is very few. He didn't say, I will build a house for me and my family. You can imagine, if you are stuck and bound in an ark for 14 months, having come out, what would be the first thing that would come to your mind? Oh, I would never get in there again. I want to build another house. But I didn't. First thing he did was worshiping God, expressing his gratitude for the salvation that he received from the Lord, for the mercy of deliverance that he received from the Lord. Have you received God's mercy of deliverance? How grateful are you? When was it last time that you remembered his deliverance of you, of the corruption of this age, of sin and the dominion of sin and dominion of darkness, and you praised him for it? How many times did you remind yourself of being rescued of God's anger? I think we are very stingy with the Lord. We don't praise him enough for it. The abundance of the mercy should move our hearts. Jesus is the only door. And you know, when you decide to enter by the door, it's not a moment thing. It's a life. A life. You will come out, come back in, enter into the Holy of Holies, come out again, and then he talks about the time of seed and time of harvest. And wherever you go, you're going to work, he's with you. He's blessing you with his providences. And that was why he said, it will never cease as long as the earth endures. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. His providence and his mercy will continue to cover us. You know, I'm going to leave the response to Richard. I want to sing again the song of thank you, our Father, for giving us your Son. And I want to hear your voices praising him. Just one sentence. One sentence. Don't be stingy. Say one sentence. Thank him for delivering you. Thank him for his mercies that rescued you of his anger. Thank him for the door, the only door. And then, if you have not made any decision before to come to the Lord, I want you to step forward and we will pray for you. You know, we need each other. Sometimes we cannot do it on our own. We need each other. We're not asking people to come forward so that we count, oh, how many people responded, but to help people who cannot do it on their own. So we'll sing the song now, and then I want to hear your thankfulness in short sentences. And then I'll leave it with Richard, asking people to come forward if that's what you wish.
Oh,
He will never destroy the earth again. Pour your heart before the Lord and thank Him. I praise you, Lord, for the mercy of deliverance. It was abundant. I praise you for the equality that you came to achieve between men and women. I love you, Lord. I love you. Yes, Lord.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we thank you, Lord, for your blood that is shed for us. We thank you for a new beginning. We thank you, Father God, always been there. We praise you and we thank you.
Praise your name.
Thank you, Father, for your word says that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the sons of God. He took upon himself our sin, and he clothed us with his righteousness. So we thank you, Lord, for making us joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We thank you, our Father, for making us part of the commonwealth of heaven. We thank you, our Father, for we are yours, completely yours. In gratitude to what you have done for us in Christ Jesus, we ask that you take control of our lives. Have us, O Lord, and help us be all that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
can't miss out on this. If you've never made the decision, please come and speak to Richard, come and speak to me, come and speak to anyone in the leadership team. Do not miss out on this salvation.
Amen.
Yeah, like Sarva said, we'd love to explain anything to you. It will be a privilege and a pleasure. So we're going to have fellowship now, friendship, and some refreshments in the hall if you fancy that. Please don't rush away, but please, like Sarva said, don't pass this opportunity up. If God has spoken to you, please come and share with Sarva, myself, one of the members of the leadership team. We'd love to pray with you and share with you. God bless you, and we pray that we may lift the Lord's name on high this week, wherever we are, whoever we're with, and may the blessing of God be with us, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we've prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.